We ready? We're ready for the word now. Amen. We're going to continue with the series, and we've been in this series. Go ahead and put that scripture on the screen. I'm going to ask everybody to stand in honor of God's word. And today you don't have to open your Bibles. The one scripture I have is going to be on the screen. Normally I have you open your Bibles because I really love for you to have a relationship with your Bible. And so seeing it in your Bible, whether it's an app, it's a book, however you do it, you need to get acquainted with your Bible. That's why I always have you read the text together, because you need to see these scriptures. But we're in a series called The Proof is in the Fruit, and we're coming down to the end, just three more, including this one, and then we'll be done with this series. But how many's enjoyed this series of on the fruit of the Spirit? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve and I. Did it again as Zechariah. Amen. And so we've enjoyed preaching them to you today. And so the fruit of the Spirit, the proof that the Spirit of God is in a person's life is not because they attend church. It's not because they shout hallelujah. It's not because they have a Bible. The proof that the Holy Spirit is really indwelling in a person's life, the Bible says this, the proof or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and today, everybody say faithfulness, gentleness, and we're going to sum it up with self-control. If you're going to be out of town on that week, cancel your vacation. That's how important it is. No, I'm just kidding. That's a big one. That's important. That's going to anchor this entire series is self-control. But today is faithfulness. I'm going to tie it in with our fathers, because this goes hand in hand with our dads and our fathers today. And so the faithfulness is the fruit that every father must have. And here's the scripture, Proverbs chapter 20. It's on your screen. I'm gonna wait until everybody gets it on the screen. Hallelujah. Those that are at our home can watch it. Proverbs 20 verse 6. Most men like to proclaim their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Everybody likes to talk about what they're good at. Everybody likes to brag on what they're good at. But the Bible says, who can find a faithful? How many's looking for a how many women like faithful men? How many of y'all like kindness men? You like kindness as men. How many would say faithfulness is up there? Come on. I don't care if you're broke, but if you're faithful. How many women are like that? You're like, well, I like him to have some money too. Amen. If he's faithful, he's going to be blessed. So he will have money. You see that? Because you can have money and still won't be faithful. But if I can get us to be faithful, if God can get us to be faithful, we're going to be blessed. Blessed in our coming in. Blessed in our going out. Blessed at home. Blessed at work. Blessed at church. Blessed at Walmart. Blessed in the deer blind. Blessed on the boat fishing with your friends. You're going to be blessed if we can just be faithful. I'm going to make it easy for us today, guys. Faithful. And this is why it's so important. The righteous man walks in his integrity. This is what a faithful man does. Watch this. And his children are blessed after him. So faithfulness is the fruit that every dad needs. And if you are a man here today, don't have children, you're a single young man, this is a message you got to lock and load. If you've got a father who wasn't very faithful to you, I think I got a message here for all of the dads here. But moms, you're going to get something out of it as well. So I ask your blessing upon our time today, Lord, as we now turn our attention to your word. Anoint me, Father. Help me to preach this word as you have given it to me. And I just ask your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell three people I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Then you can sit down. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Amen. Amen. This is a holler back church. We talk to each other here at this church. Amen. And so every now and then I got to give that little prerequisite before we preach. We believe in expressing our love and worship for God. So that's why we clap our hands. That's why we lift our hands. That's why you see some kneeling, some praying while we worship. But we also like to holler back. So if the message is getting you, you can say amen. Everybody practice right now and say, preach, preacher. Amen. See, you can do that here. Amen. And so if you say it too loud and too many times, we got security that would love to come and see it. No, I'm just kidding. But we want you to, church is supposed to be that one place where you can give yourself permission to express your love for God, the King of the universe. Amen. It's the one place that you need to learn to give yourself permission to lift your hands, to say amen, to just relax in the presence of God and with honor. And God, we're told to do that in Scripture. Amen. So anyway, I want to say this before I go any further with the men at River of Life. I want to thank God for all the men at River of Life. I want to thank God for you. Can we give our men, fathers, our men? Listen, this is a church. I'm blessed. We got a lot of great men here. And Gary, our men's director, who's enjoying a time off with his family, he does an awesome job. His heart just bleeds for the men of this church. And he just helps me. And we pray for you men. And I just thank God for you men. And thank you for playing. You know, we play on the softball teams. And it was so awesome. I don't know if our ump is here today, but we had a growth track a couple weeks ago. We had 25 people there coming to growth track wanting to be new members. It was so amazing. And so everyone was sharing their stories. And the one guy stood up and said, I've been umping at being the umpire at the softball diamonds and for a long time. And this River team kept coming up. And just by the way that they acted, he wanted to come and check out our church. And him and his wife now are a part of our church. I don't know if he's here, but God bless you. So I said, guys, we're going to have a winning season from here on out. Amen. No, just kidding. No. He's a man of integrity. He called me out one time. And I don't think I was out. But anyway, but I'm not going to get all in the flesh. I'm going to stay in the fruit of the Spirit and say, hey, I'm not getting paid $1 million contract anyway. I'm not going to lose my salvation over a missed call. Come on, somebody. Is Pastor trying to say something? Yep. But I thank God for the men that we have here at River of Life. And we are blessed to have so many that love God. And I know, like I said, Mother's Day, Father's Day are those weeks where you got to, You got to be aware of your audience. When you're preaching, when you're speaking, rule number one is know your audience. Jesus did this. Paul did this. You got to know who you're talking about, who you're talking to. And so there's a lot of mixed feelings on Father's Day. I understand that. I was blessed to have an awesome father, and I want to give a shout out to two of the dads that I have. My father on the front row, Paul Markham, my dad, our first founding pastor, awesome man of God. And I want to give a shout out. I think these cameras are on, even though they're not lit up. But which one's on? Hallelujah. I want to speak one to Don, my father-in-law, who's watching. He's a vet. Melinda's father, Don and Ellen Mills, live up north. They come to know the Lord through the live stream ministry. He's an awesome man. He taught me how to fix cars and fix my house. And he's just always been a great guy. And thank God for you, Don, as well. And so happy Father's Day to you. And so, amen. And so I was blessed, and I've had many uncles in my life that are godly men and godly influences. I was brought up with a godly heritage, and I know everybody can't say that, but I was. And I want to thank God for all my uncles, but they're all with the Lord now. And maybe you're here today, and your father is not here. And I just thought of this when my cousin just shared on Facebook a picture of his dad, which was like a second dad to me and my brothers is my Uncle Jimmy. And he was a man of God, and he passed away 3 years ago now, I believe. He's with the Lord. And I'm just so proud of his son, Jimmy. It was a tough, tough blow to lose the patriarch of the Patterson family like that. And he died a little too soon, but it was tough. And now he posted that picture, and now my cousin Jimmy has started a church in Florida. He's back in it with God. Amen. So shout out to the Pattersons, and thank God for it. But I know it stung, and I think about those fathers and guys that are not here with us, here at the church. And I was personally blessed to have so many great, faithful men here at this church that's on the other side. Don Swenson, you know, Roger Kendrick, and the poster child, if I could say that, for faithfulness would be Pastor John Sherman, amen, who was... You talk about being faithful. There is nobody faithful like Pastor John, and I miss him dearly. This is the first Father's Day, and I'm not going to make the family cry. Here I go. But I know it's tough. It's tough. But I want to tell all of you that's lost dads and people that you love and that were faithful men. And I want to remind you of what helps me get through and help my cousin get through. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. After the writer talks about the patriarchs and the faithful people of God, he then starts chapter 12, and this is what he says. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, That's our loved ones that are on the other side. He said, there they are. He said, let us run our race. Throw aside every weight and sin that would hinder us and let us run our race. In other words, those loved ones that are on the other side, they're looking and they're going, go run your race, son. Go run your race. I'm here watching you and you can make it in Jesus' name. Tell that to my cousin Jimmy, and that's how it is. I'd give anything for my uncles to see the ministry and what God's blessed us with. But they know, I believe they know. And so what is faithfulness? Let me get into this. Faithfulness in the Bible, it means, when we talk about the fruit of faithfulness, it means loyalty to God and his teachings, which shape the way we think and act. That's what faithfulness means. It means to be loyal to God and his teachings in such a way that it shapes the way we think and we act. That's what this fruit of faithfulness means. The synonyms mean trustworthy, loyal, consistent. Everybody say consistent. That's the part of the definition of the word faith there, is consistency in your profession. It doesn't matter how big you believe for God, it's how long you can believe it for. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness is the ability to hang on when everything else is shaken loose. Faithfulness is saying, I'm gonna hold on to my faith. I'm gonna hold on to my principles. I'm gonna hold on to my convictions. I'm gonna hold on to my faith. You can only do that if you've got the Spirit of God helping you in this area called the fruit of faithfulness. And dads, let me tell you something. If this is one thing we need is in our life and in our culture, is this. Is faithfulness. These fruits are for us, by the way, men. I know a lot of them may sound kind of feminine or something and not very masculine when you talk about kindness and all of these things. Let me tell you something. Meekness is not weakness. These fruits of the Spirit are not weak, but they are strong. You got to be a strong man to be faithful. Amen. You got to be a strong person to follow the Lord Jesus and allow these fruits to be to manifest in your life. We love respect. The Bible teaches the two universal languages of men and women. The Bible says that the universal language for women is love. When a woman feels loved, they feel secure. They feel protected. They feel they have an environment to be themselves. Love does that. But the Bible says that men, we really don't speak the language of love. I mean, it's okay. You see a lot of guys, they just do, hey, fist bump. That's it. That communicates like 50 words right there, right? Love is not a huge language, but you know what the universal language for men is? It's respect. Scripture says it's respect. A lot of the little fights and arguments always start, especially back in the day, you know, because we didn't feel respected. But let me give you a new definition, men, of what respect is. When we're respected the most by those who know us the best. Three of you got it. When we are respected the most by those who know us the best. That's success. That's success. And what I'm talking about, that is what the fruits of the Spirit do. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But we can let God develop the gift and the fruit of faithfulness in our lives. Let me just give you this. Moms, your moms are irreplaceable. How many know you can't replace mom? Mom is mom. She is a staple in the home. Mothers are our moms. There's only one mom, amen, that we have. But fathers, let me just tell you that the impact that fathers make are so significant. When the father is indifferent or inadequate or just absent, the task of maturing in a responsible manner becomes so much harder. And the spiritual significant side of a father's presence is amazing. Look at this data that was collected from Promise Keepers, from the Baptist Press, collaborated with a European study done in Switzerland. They found that if a father does not go to church, but his wife does, only one out of 50 of his children, one out of 50 of the kids will become a regular worshiper. That's if mom goes every week, but the father does not go, only one out of 50. When the father regularly attends, now when the dad goes to church, even if the mom stays at home, and that is a thing as well. We talk about single moms, but there's also single dads. There's also women who serve God and men that don't, but there's also dads that are holding it down for the Lord and their wives are not. But when the father regularly attends and the mothers don't, 66%, look at it, jump, of the children will attend church. That's the impact of a dad. And you don't got to be a preacher. You're going to see today. You don't got to be a preacher, a missionary, evangelist, a worship leader. You never have to step foot on this stage is going to be my message here I'm getting to. You just got to be present and lead them in the ways of God. But watch this. When mom and dad both attend church, 75% of the children will become regular church attenders. Now, mom, you may be a single mom. I want to let you know something that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all what you can ever ask or think. So you may be a single mom here. Listen, don't get heartbroken and don't think you don't have a chance, because you do. Because I know several guys and men, even in this church, who didn't have a believing father, but their mom did, and they're here today. And they're able to do it. So you know that you're not by yourself. That's why we offer these mentoring programs, these Royal Rangers, and that's why we got so many godly men in our church that do these small groups and do men's ministry for those reasons. But we need a generation of godly men who understand the influence of a godly father. And this fruit helps us to be faithful. And we need it more today than ever, is that one fruit. So I'm going to make it simple for you today. I want to talk about Isaac this morning. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to talk about Isaac today because he shows us how to develop this fruit of faithfulness. You remember Isaac? Isaac is the long-awaited son that Abraham and Sarah wanted to have a child. They couldn't have a child. And they prayed, and God promised that you're going to have a son. And finally that day came, and Isaac was born. And God had him, offered him up as a sacrifice, right? But he didn't really do it. He was testing Abraham. That's this son, Isaac. But I want you to see something today, that Abraham was the great father of faith. And then he had Isaac, and then he had Jacob. Jacob was the one that wrestled with the angel. Jacob is the one that was a deceiver and a trickster. And all of his life, he was a manipulator. But then he had an encounter with God, and it changed his life. And we love the story of Jacob wrestling with an angel. But what about Isaac? Isaac was not the father of faith. Isaac, he never wrestled with an angel. Isaac never did anything what we would call significant. He never was a preacher. He never was a teacher. He never was anything great that would be considered great in the church world. But this is what he did. He got married and he had some kids. But this is the one thing he did. He maintained the promise. He was faithful with what his father had started. He was faithful. He wasn't fancy, but he was faithful. And there's only one scripture and really one chapter that captures what Isaac did. And I'm just going to put this one scripture up to you today. And it shows us how he was faithful and what he did. He did these three things. It said, so Genesis 26, 25 says, so he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched a tent, and Isaac's servants dug a well. That's all he did. He was faithful with these three things. None of them was huge that you would think is significant. He's no Noah. He's no Samson. He's no Gideon. He's just Isaac. He's just Isaac, a guy that just married and had some kids. But he preserved the legacy of his father, and this is how he did it. He developed the fruit of faithfulness in these three ways. I want you to write these down. We're going to go kind of quick on the first two until I get to that third one. The first one was he was an altar builder. He built an altar. Come on, dads. He built an altar. What is that? That's a place where you meet with God. Isaac said, this is the one thing I'm going to be faithful in, is I'm going to show my kids that they can escape the chaos of the world. That they can escape the chaos of the world and meet with the God of heaven. I'm going to show my boys, I'm going to show my girls, my kids, that they can call on God and get alone with the Lord and pray to God. This is what our dads, our first job is to have an altar, is to show our kids how to pray. Show our kids how to meet with God. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be a big prayer warrior. But you need to show your kids how to meet with God. That, hey, when things get tough, you got a God that you can call on. And when things aren't tough, when things are going good, you're going to need to call upon God at a regular basis. Let me tell you something. This is something that we do as dads, and we can if we get on fire for God, as I said in the baby dedications, as we love the Lord, it will automatically begin to get over into our kids. When my girls were little, I was not serving the Lord, and I was not able to give them that. Everything in my life revolved around partying and this and that, and so I missed out in my girls on a lot of the early years of their life. But when I got saved, they saw dad change. They saw a change in my life. They saw me go into my basement and get rid of the drugs and the alcohol. They really not understood all of that, but they did know that I was more present. I was coming home with my paycheck. I was picking my kids up. I was loving them. I was loving their mom. Our marriage began to get healed and reconciled. And every time they would walk in, they would catch me reading my Bible. Dads, let your kids catch you reading the Bible. I mean, you don't got to know all the answers. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to do any of that, but you just show them about God. That's building an altar. I love it. Last night, we were sitting on the patio at my house, and we were just hanging out eating dinner, and we had Southeastern University. That's my daughter's college. They graduated from there. They have a new worship album out. So we always listen to worship music, and it's just low. We're not like having church. You know, the kids are playing and picking mulberries and stuff and enjoying summer. But my little grandson, he's two, and he come around the corner, and he heard that worship song. He stopped and went. I said, it hit him. That, I'm telling you, blessed me more than him hitting a home run at T-ball. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm telling you, how do you do that? You just worship because they see us worship. I didn't do that with my daughters. I can tell you some horror stories what my daughter saw. People coming in my door, house getting shot up, and police coming and getting daddy. Yeah, that's what Felicia grew up in. I remember I've been out of that household, but can I tell you that 27 years later, this old boy is still in his word and walking in his integrity. Why? Because I got an altar I built in my life, and I'm faithful to go to God. I need an altar in my life. Because without an altar, what else comes with an altar? A sacrifice. Without a sacrifice, there is no altar. What sacrifice do you put on these altars? You. Because you're not going to want to give an altar. You're not going to want to build an altar. You got other things that are too busy. It takes time to sacrifice. It takes time to get into my, I'm not a reader. I can't read, Pastor Eddie. Get into your Bible. That's sacrifice. That's what you do. I'm telling you, do it. That's all you got to do. If we don't teach our kids, I've said this before, if we don't teach our kids to build altars, they'll build avatars. This is the church I'm talking to, the church families. Your kids will be coming to church every Sunday. But if they don't learn, hear this pastor today, if they don't learn to connect with God for themselves, what they'll do is they won't leave home because they're 14. They're 15. They can't leave home. What they'll do is they'll create an avatar. You'll have the Christian version of them. Hi, Mom and Dad. I go to Road Rangers, I go to the splash pad, I go to summer camp, but there's another whole, what's an avatar? Another whole identity. And I did this, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you today, not from what I've heard out of a book, but what I did. Everybody at church thought the little Eddie was gonna be another preacher. I was like, yeah, they had no idea what I was doing at 14 years old. Why? Not because I wasn't hearing the word, no, because I did not encounter God for myself. So, Mom, Dad, this is so important to make sure that your kids are learning how to do it. How do you do it? You build an altar? Just like if you love football, your kids are gonna like it. You ever go to a baseball game and you see whole families there watching the ball game? And who's watching the baseball game? Dad. The mom and the kids could care less. Hallelujah. Amen. They're sitting there watching. But because Dad goes, they go. They even wear the jerseys, and I love it. It's a family. Now, there's some women that love baseball, amen, but most of the time, if women were honest, they go because dad likes it. It's a family thing. I've learned this, that dads, all we got to do is lead in this area by just opening up our Bible and following God, because our wives, they can't follow a parked car. And guess who God calls out in Scripture? Us men. This is the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Sarah, Rachel, and Rebecca. When Adam messed up, Eve ate the apple, but who did God come looking for? Adam, where are you? He didn't say, hey, Eve, come here, girl. He said, Eve, I knew you blew it, because where was Adam when you were by yourself with that serpent? Now, come on, somebody. Y'all hearing me today? Adam, I got to talk to you, son, because I told you about this tree, and you are responsible for your wife and for your family. I'll deal with Eve in a moment, but Adam, where were you when this thing was happening? You know why he talks to us that way, man? Because we can handle it. And that's something we got to get back into this culture, some grit. Say that, Pastor. Come on. Everybody's so offended. I'm so offended. I'm getting off my message today. Dan Campbell brought grit into football. Look what the Lions done. Come on, somebody. We need that grit. Tell your neighbor you need grit. Come on, you need some grit. You need some grit. He built an altar. I got to keep going. He built an altar. So get an altar going. What's that? A regular time that you read your Bible. And you may be a grown adult with grandkids, and you did not have an altar, and your kids are done grown. You can start with your grandkids. When you get together this summer for cookouts, you can kind of talk to your mom and their adult children now. And be like, have you seen something? You know, talk about God a little bit. Don't got to be all preachy. You don't got to bring the Bible out. Pastor Eddie said, no, you can be like, hey, you know, I've been going to church and trying to clean up my mouth. I mean, trying to be better. And you know, what I did with my girls, you know, I picked my girls up. You know, they were 5 and 7, and I picked them up, and 4 and 6. And I said, Dad, you know, I wasn't there in the beginning, but you got a new daddy. And I sat down with my wife and I told her, I said, this is going to be different in this house. What was I doing? I was leading. Hallelujah. This jacket is not going to stay on. Hallelujah. The second thing he did is I got to keep going. He dwelt in tents, because I want to get to that third one. But he dwelt in tents. What does this mean? He was eternally minded. He understood that this was not his home. He didn't put stock, barrel, hook, line, and sinker. He didn't put invested everything into this home. He understood that this life is temporary. He understood that this was temporary. Now, I'm not saying you got to go live in a tent. Enjoy your house if God's. You may build your own house. Hallelujah. That is amazing. But how many know in 50 years from now, somebody else is going to be living in that house? Billy Graham said years ago, he said, I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse to the cemetery. Why? Because you can't take it with you. That nice boat we got, I don't mean to bust your bubble. Somebody going to be gripping that boat in about 20 years. Hallelujah. And I love your boats. Take me out on it. I love the boats. Amen. It's okay to have things, but so many of us men think that life is summed up by the toys and the money that we have and the things have. I'm telling you something. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. There's something way more important, and that's called eternity. That's the other life. Look what the scripture says in Hebrews 11. I mentioned Hebrews earlier. This is one of the scriptures that describes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. Please let that be said of you. Please let that be said of you. How many are in it for the long haul? If you can't say, I do, I'm in it the whole route, then you probably ain't gonna make it. You have got to be in this thing even when your kids are grown and you don't got to take them to church no more. Hello, somebody. You still need to learn to come to the house of God, because he's your God. He's not the God that helps you raise your kids until your kids get through it. And then when they get older, no, because that also happens. I see it. He is your God. That when they died, they believed. Listen up. They did not receive the things promised, but this is how they lived. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Watch this. Admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. That sums it up right there. Moms and dads, are we preparing our children for eternity? It's real. Every 2 seconds, somebody dies. Can I just tell you that there is another life? That is the real life waiting on the other side, is the other life. And it is happening. Every 2 seconds, somebody is passing away. Every 2 seconds. My question is where are they going? Where are they going? That's why God sent his son. That's why we have the gospel message. That's radical, Eddie. So is radical for God to come down here himself and hang on a tree and let him get smacked and his beard pulled out and spit upon. He did all of that so you and I could be with him in eternity when this life is over. That's how bad God does not want any of his children to pass without him. We ask these questions of God. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Do you know what the question God asked us in Jeremiah? He says, why don't the wicked turn to me and live? Why don't they just turn and believe in me and live? For I take no pleasure in the death of a wicked person. That's the heart of a father saying, I've done everything and I've made it easy. All you got to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm Lutheran. I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. Well, hi, I'm Eddie. Do you know Jesus? Are you living for him? You're not perfect, but is he a priority? As all he's asking is not to just be a savior, but to be Lord. You know what Lord is? Owner. He's the ownership. When I got saved, I said, God, here's the keys to my life. Here's the keys to my money. Here's the keys to my thought life. Here's the key to my marriage. Here's the key to my emotions. Here's the key to my pain. Here's the keys to my past. Here's the key to my future. It's all you, Jesus. Hopefully your kid has an ERA, or an IRA, but do they have an ERA? I love that. God just gave me that last night. An IRA, individual retirement account. That's good that we teach our kids to be given money, but do they have an ERA, an eternal retirement account? Say amen loud. I worked hard on that one. Amen. I was like, woo, had a preach fest. Had a preach. The sons of Zebedee, if you saw this and you're watching The Chosen, there's an episode where the sons of Zebedee's mom comes up, and it happened in the Bible. She comes to Jesus and she said, Jesus, I want both my boys. She had two sons. She said, I want both my boys to sit with you in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a question out of order and Jesus addressed it, but stop for a moment. What was mama doing? Mama was concerned about the eternal destiny of their kids. I just want to bring awareness to it. How much thought have we put in for the eternal destiny of our kids? It's serious, guys. I just did a funeral last Friday of a 48-year-old woman. I do funerals. I've done funerals all the time for people that were not ready to go. And it happens. Isaac said, I'm going to build an altar, but I'm going to live in a tent. I'm going to keep my kids eternally. I'm going to prepare my kids that we're just traveling through this life. Enjoy it. Go on vacations. We love this, a beautiful world. Absolutely. But our home is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And when you get this eternal destiny, this eternal perspective in your life, it'll change the way you live, ladies and gentlemen. It'll actually help you when suffering and pain happens. When people die and we don't want them to die. And if you don't have this understanding of eternity that you're gonna see him again, you'll be tempted to make God your adversary instead of your advocate. But let me tell you something, that's not fair, because that's like blaming the Wright brothers for plane crashes. God designed this planet, but not to function the way it does. Human will, sin and sickness and disease has entered into this world. But God said, I have given you a promise. I'm gonna see my uncles again. I'm going to see my loved ones again. And these men that are cheering us on now, I'm going to see my Uncle Everett again, my Uncle Jimmy again. And I know that in Jesus' name. All right, you ready? Last one, guys. And he dug a well. And this is what he was known for, is he dug a well. Isaac dug a well. And this is what the whole chapter sums up. But what is a well? Can you guys bring my well out to me? I don't know what's with these illustrations, but I like them. And oh, well, here we go. And so... So this is a well, and in your scripture, if you guys can put it right here, that would be great. So a well represents a source of life. A well represents a source of life. Yep, right there is great. And the source of life would feed, would provide water for the family, for the animals, and every family had wells. And the Bible says in Genesis 26 that they would dig wells. Let me have one shovel. They would dig these wells. And scripture says, thank you, Tito. And the scripture says that this well represents like their source, right? Their source of life. And for the Christian family, a well represents the ways of God. Like last week we learned that only God's ways are good. So for the Christian, the well that's in the Markham family, that my little grandson is catching on, the source of what we're all about. We love football, we love vacation, we love steak, we love family, we love water stuff. We're into, you know, we love that. But the source of the Markham family is our faith. Is our God. We are people that are living for God on this earth. That's what we're about. What source is your life? What is your family known for? Let me tell you something. So Isaac said, I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to pitch a tent. I'm going to live in tents, but I'm also going to make sure that this well is going to be there for generations to come. And the Bible says he didn't dig a well. He actually had to re-dig a well. Put that scripture up in Genesis. It says, and Isaac dug again. Everybody say again. The wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up. And after the death of Abraham, let me tell you what this represents. Here we go. Excuse me. What Isaac did is his father dug this well. His father put this in and said, this is going to be the well. If you go back and read it, he dug that well for his generations to come. But when dad died, when the influence, maybe you had a mentor, an uncle, a pastor, and they're no longer in your life. The Bible says the Philistines came and put dirt in the earth. The Philistines always, always represents the world. And let me here to tell you, some people is going to try to put dirt in your y'all's family well. Somebody's gonna try to put dirt in your well. And the world began to plug up this well that used to flow to all the families. And so what did Isaac do? Isaac said, I'm gonna dig up this well. I'm gonna redig this well and get this dirt out. And this is what he did. You see the size of the shovel? Guys, this is little. He didn't have a backhoe. He had this little shovel, one scoop at a time. He began to get that dirt back out of that well. One, because the enemy will come, and when you get through disappointments, when you have discouragements, when you have compromises in your attitude, he's going to put dirt in this well. When you leave that altar alone, and that altar gets dusty, and you just get too busy for God, the devil is not going to stop. He's going to keep putting dirt in your well, and little by little, what used to be a source of life for your whole family is now a source of dirt and earth. And so what did Isaac do? I love it. Isaac took one shovel at a time and he began to get the dirt out. Let me tell you, it's not big giant steps of faith. It's little steps of faithfulness that God is looking for. Every time you go to your altar, every time you come to church, Dad, let me encourage you, Dad. Every time you bring your kids to Royal Rangers and you're hurting and you're mad and you've had a rough day at work and Mom, you're tired and you're running all over the place, but you make time for them to go to summer camp and you do that. Every time you're doing that, I'm here to tell you, you're getting a little bit of that dirt out of that well and you're getting just a little bit more out. You take them here, you take them to a Christian concert, and you share the word with them. This is what faithfulness looks like, God. It's not fancy. It's not elaborate. It's just one little shovel at a time. It's how you do it. One shovel at a time. And what I love about this story, because you're going to get tired when you do this. The Bible says that Isaac, if you read the chapter, every time he got dirt out of it, that the enemy would try to come and fill it again. And they were fighting and they were arguing and they were coming and he would try, but he did not stop. But he kept going one shovel at a time doing this. And then that scripture I read to you, and here it is, I love about it. Isaac did not dig alone. And this is what I want to let our men know today, is that it's little steps like this. When you don't think it's mattering, it is mattering. And you may be here and you don't have an Abraham that dug a well. You have no well in your life. Can I tell you that you are Isaac today? You are the one that needs to build that first well for your family, for Jacob and Joseph and the sons to come. If you didn't have a dad, that's okay. You need to get you a shovel. But I'm here to tell you that the scripture says that Isaac didn't do it by himself. I wonder if we got any more men. Bring me all those shovels. If we got any men here today that'd like to come up here and help me, because I feel a little discouraged today. Do I got any men that want to come up here and help me today dig the well? Come on, I need some men. I want to know if I got some men that's going to come up here and say, hey, I'm tired. Come on, grab a shovel, because you ain't going to do it. The Bible says Isaac didn't do it by himself. And come on, begin to dig it out. Listen. This time, I'm tired. My kids won't drink from the well. I feel like giving up. I feel like God ain't answering my prayers. The Bible says, sit down, brother. I got others that's going to come up. That's going to help dig that well out for you and your family. Where are my men at today? I want you to look up here, all the men, and those of you watching online. This right here is what faithfulness looks like. It's not being all by yourself. I'm here to tell you that God is bringing people into your life, and he's got people sitting right next to you today that are well diggers that will come alongside of you, that will come alongside of me and say, I know you get tired. There's a lot of dirt getting in there and you feel like giving up, but let me sit out, take a break. Let me grab that shovel, brother. I can help you. And the Bible says they went and dug a well and another well and another well and another well. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Give him a hand. Everybody stand with me. I'm going to close out with this. So what do? I want to sum it up by this. Take a picture because I don't got time to do all this. How you develop faithfulness in your life. Number one, practice faithfulness every day. Listen, practice faithfulness every day. One shovel scoop at a time. Practice faithfulness every day. Every day you got to get up. Every day you get up and you say, I'm going to live for Jesus today. Every day. That's it. You're not going to be a preacher. You're not going to be a missionary. You might. That'd be awesome. But I'm just going to be faithful today. Come on. Where's my men at? Are you here? Practice faithfulness every day. Go to work and put up with that boss. He needs Jesus. But you know what? You're showing your kids what it looks like to get up and go to work. You're showing your kids what it looks like. You know, it's not being with so many women doesn't make you cool. It's how long you can be with one woman. Isn't that something that's like, wow. I say it proud and loud. This year is going to be 33 years I've been sleeping with one woman and I love it. Oh yeah, I said it. Y'all need to hear it. Y'all need to hear it on TikTok talking about all running around here and all these people telling you got to have all these women and all that. And I grew up with that environment all around me. That's all about, listen, you can have one person in your life that you love that God's practice faithfulness. Number two, have the courage to obey God. I'm going to say it in my vernacular. It ain't for wimps and sissies. There ain't nobody in the scripture that was weak. And those that were weak, here's the reason why we got to have courage, because God gives us the courage to follow him. You say, I'm not that kind of guy. Listen, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you when you receive Christ and he gives you the strength to be faithful. But you got to take that step and have the courage to obey God. You got to have the courage to obey God. When everybody went out partying on Friday night at my work, they'd go and I'd be the first one with them. And I quit going. I quit going to the bars. I quit going there. I started living for the Lord. And I remember how that felt when I wasn't invited no more. But you know what I began to watch? I began to watch over a period of time because I was faithful. If you stay faithful long enough, you're going to see this happen. They make fun of you for a minute. And if you don't see them making fun of you, they're making fun of you. If you really get on fire for God, they're going to make fun of you. But you know what would happen? They begin to come. Not all of them, but one or two of them. Hey, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? I want to get what you got. I had to meet one guy in the parking lot because he didn't want me to talk to him at work. So I met him at the parking lot and prayed with him. And they begin to see it. But it took me to have courage. And lastly, don't allow failures to become final. Men, you're going to fail. Isaac failed. You can read the story. He messed up. But he had some brothers that came alongside of him and said, hey, let me help you with the shovel. Let me help you, brother. Whatever knocks you down, don't let it keep you down. I don't care if you wrestle with pornography. I don't care if you wrestle with alcohol. I don't care if you wrestle with all, you name it. We got all kind of problems today that can get you to drop your shovels. I'm here to tell you, whatever may knock you down, don't let it keep you down, baby. Get some grit of the Holy Ghost and get up and say, I'm gonna dust the pan, my dirt off my pants, and I'm gonna get back in this fight. Not the size of the dog in the fight, but the fight in the dog. Come on, Tomas, right? Little frame, big game. That's my man right there. Amen. And the Spirit of God is what give you that fight. So I just want to ask you today, how many men do we have today that says, I want to be the Isaac in my family? How many men that I got? If that's you, I want you to take a step out and fill these altars because I want to pray over you today. How many men I want to be an Isaac? Now listen, some of you may come and I don't have to go up there. There's something about getting out of your seat. There's something about responding. It just does something in your life. Look at these men coming. Come on, give them some appreciation and some love. Come on, Isaacs. You're not Abraham. You're not the father of faith, and you're not Jacob, may not have even seen an angel. God's just asking you today if you're willing to be an Isaac. Are you willing to be an Isaac? You willing to be an Isaac? I know you are. I know you guys are. I just want to be faithful in preserving the legacy to my kids. That's it. Are we in agreement? God's going to do that today. He's going to help you. Some of you have altars. That's good. Keep it going. Keep that priority thing right with your perspectives of life. But let me tell you also, brothers, keep digging that well. Keep keeping that dirt out of the well. Keep the dirt out of your marriage. You delete some apps, delete some apps. If you don't be hanging around that girl at work, I know she'd be flirting with all that on. You need to go find another coffee place to get you some coffee. I'm telling you something, because it ain't worth it. Proverbs says you'll lose everything you built your life for if you fall for the adulterous woman. I'm talking to men today. He said the man with no wisdom followed his desire to the house, not knowing it would cost him everything he had. Integrity will cost you years to build, and you can lose it in one moment. And I'm going to speak to those that may have lost it. You can get back up, brother. And you get back up, you dust your pants off, and you say, I'm going to pick that shovel up again. And I'm going to show my kids not how to fall, but I'm going to show them how to get back up. It's a win-win. With Jesus, it's a win-win. Hallelujah. I thought about getting these little shovels. But I give so many props. You have a little life preserver. You'll have, what kind of church you go to? One like Home Depot, baby. We equip our people at this church. So I want to spiritually hand you a shovel today. Spiritually hand you a shovel today, yeah.
It's not about perfection, it's about subjection.
Amen. Not about perfection, but it's about subjection. I always tell Tomas, if he's got those words, share them with me. And he does, and he just did. It's not about perfection, but it's about subjection. I like that, submitting to God. How many's willing to take that shovel today? Let's just take that shovel right now by faith. I want you to go home and read Genesis 26 this week. So Father, I just pray over these men today. God, there's so many mixed feelings in this altar today, these men. Some of them had great fathers, and some of them are not here. Some of them have great fathers and they're still here. Some of them did not have a father. And they're the Isaac of their family that's gonna start building the well of Abraham. Because it's that same faith that needs to flow to their kids. And some don't have children yet, but today they're picking up a shovel and they're gonna start digging that well in their own heart to be a man of integrity so they can give the woman that you bring in their life a man, an Isaac and not an Ishmael who walks by the flesh. I pray that over your men today on this Father's Day 2024, that God, this would be more than a sermon on Father's Day, but it would be an equipping of the men of God today, that they would receive the shovel and the faith and the word of God in their heart today. And to keep digging and get that dirt out of the well and keep that water flowing. I pray over them. Pray over them, and I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship together as we sing. Let's just worship. Lift your hands to the Lord.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.